Well, we have so much to celebrate this morning, and more than just all the couple new babies I see here and Luke's birthday today. There's so much more to celebrate. We get to celebrate that God chose to send Jesus to redeem us, to bring us closer to Him, and in that celebration, there's a lot of. Oh, there's just a lot that has gone on in that celebration. And I'm going to start this morning by reading Psalms 118, verses 19 through 29. And if you want to follow along, you can, or it should be on the screen. But verse 19, "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks. For you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You know, as I read that, there's a couple things that jump out. There's songs that have been written from this verse, a couple of them from this section of Scripture. It's just a celebration that's going on. "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, Lord, save us. Oh, Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festival procession. Up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord forever, for he is good. His love endures forever." Join in the festival and celebrate. Join in the festival and celebrate. And it makes me want to, as I read that, I believe he's talking, the psalmist is talking there about the triumphant entry of Jesus. And when he rode the donkey into town, and the palms were waving, and they were laying stuff at the feet of the donkey for him to walk on. And it made me just to get excited to think about what it would have been like to be there. And so if you would, with me, just close your eyes this morning and think about that. And take your palm branches in your hand. And just hold them up. And think of that day. That it was nothing short of a celebration. And there was a whole lot more going on there. But think of that glorious day as Jesus enters this town to be prepared to be a sacrifice for us. Just think of it. And envision what it would have been like to be there. And how we're still celebrating it 2,000 years later. Okay, you can open your eyes. But think about that day. The Passion Stories is what it's about. This whole week we're talking about. And the birth of Jesus, we're going to back up here a little bit. But the birth of Jesus was a spectacular event, but it was a small event. And there was it was in a stable, and we all know the story. But as you look at Scripture, I don't know how many of you know this, but the birth of Jesus is not mentioned in all four Gospels. And in fact, the Passion Week, this week that we're celebrating now, is alongside with when Jesus fed the 5,000. It's the only accounts in Scripture that are in all four Gospels. It's a big story. Other than the feeding of the 5,000, this week, the triumphant entry and the basically the arrest and torture of Jesus and hanging him on the cross, it's the only thing else that's in all four Gospels. And in fact, prophets, David, Isaiah, Zechariah, they all gave graphic accounts in the Old Testament of this week that was to come. One-third of the book of Matthew, one-third of the book of Mark, a fourth of Luke, and almost half of the book of John all have to do with this week, with this week we're starting into now. And it's all about the final week. And it really kicks off with Jesus entering on the donkey. And it had to be a huge celebration. And we love to celebrate in this country. I think as I thought about today, I thought I wanted a really good illustration here. And I don't know if this is a good one, but all I could come up with, and it's kind of sad, is Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, but in this country, we stop everything for that. We really do. And it's fun to go watch. And if you look around, even other countries that are industrialized, they really all but stop for Super Bowl Sunday. So it's a huge party. And in our culture, Christmas is also huge. But Easter almost seems to me to get forgotten about. And really, it should all but be in reverse. Easter should be this huge celebration that we have, this, like nothing else, because it is where we've been redeemed, where our sins have been taken away from us. But this entire week, as Jesus entered into the city, and that was celebrated, and you had the Passover meal, and Jesus arrested and put on the cross, this entire week was all to prepare Christ for this sacrifice he was to make. The entire week. I'm going to read now Mark 11, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt there, tied, which no man has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' And they went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to. And the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest.'" That had to be a celebration. It had to be something spectacular. And I don't think we could ever grasp. But what we can grasp is that celebration has continued. And someday we're going to get a taste. We're going to really see what that celebration is all about. But it's not going to be on this earth. Because of what Jesus did, we are going to get to continue that celebration in heaven. And what a glorious, glorious day that will be. And I, for one, I don't want it to happen right yet, but I can't wait for it to happen. And we should all be excited for that day. But those people there, I don't think anybody but Jesus really understood what was going on. Have you ever thought about that part of it? The man that owned the donkey, the guys that the disciples talked to when they untied the donkey, you think they had any clue what was going on? No. The man, when that donkey was even born, do you think that owner knew that donkey someday would carry Jesus and preparing him to be our sacrifice? None of them had a clue. What about those laying down the palm branches? I guarantee they had no clue what they were doing, other than there was something special about Jesus and they wanted to worship him. They didn't have a clue. It's kind of like, you know, I've had a lot of new jobs in my day. You know, I taught school for a few years. I worked on a street department. I was paramedic. And I was trained for all them. And as I started these jobs, I knew what I was supposed to do. But as you get there and you get the feel for a new place, you really have no clue what you're doing. And so you do what your boss tells you to do, and you just sort of follow along. And I'm sure it was kind of like that for the people there, laying down the branches, that they just knew that God was speaking to them, telling them to worship Jesus and prepare him for this day. They just knew he was special, and we still, we know that. But they had no idea that they were preparing him for a sacrifice. None at all. And if we jump ahead a little bit in that week to when they were having the Last Supper, when they were all gathered, or as they were, before they were gathering at the table, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but Jesus sends the disciples out to find a man in town carrying a glass of water or a pitcher of water. That man carrying that pitcher of water was used in a spectacular way by God, but had no clue. Those that built that building where the Last Supper was held and furnished it and set up the tables and all that, they didn't know God was using them. So as I'm studying this week, I'm starting to realize just how much I'll bet God has used each and every one of us. And we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue that he's using us in certain ways. But as I read this, I'm almost wanting to guarantee that he's using us probably each and every day and in every aspect of our lives. God is using us, whether we understand that or not. And to me, that's worth celebrating. It should make a shout out, amen, that God uses me, even with all my mistakes and all the things I've done, that God uses us. That should be something to celebrate. That should be something. And I do believe we need to celebrate that, and we need to get excited for that. Just think of it. God, our God, uses us. Not only can we have a personal relationship and pray and talk to him and he can guide our lives, but he uses us to lead other people to him. He uses us in all sorts of ways. We need to celebrate that. We need to get excited about that. Can we get excited? Can we yell out amen over that? Amen. There we go. Get excited. Celebrate it. Celebrate that God uses us. But not only that, celebrate that Christ was willing, that God loved us so much, that he was willing to die on the cross for our sins. Celebrate that God loves us so much, that God uses us, that he died on the cross for our sins, that we can be forgiven of our sins, but not only forgiven, that God forgets them. That's the part that really gets me excited, that not only are we forgiven, but they're forgot about. And celebrate when we see God working. I just had a great week this week, and I'm sorry, Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. That I've always said that when I give a message that God asks me to do, that if it's for one person, then it was well worth it. And I was riding a high this week, just understanding that God used me to speak to Dave and help him guide his life. That's exciting. And we need to celebrate as a church when we see God doing things like that. And I was thrilled this morning when you guys clapped after he announced that. It's just exciting to know God is here and with us and offers us our salvation. And even when life is tough, and we go through things that we don't want to, and we all do, things we don't want to walk through, things we don't expect to go through in life. You know, I remember growing up and you watch these fairy tale movies and everybody lives happily ever after. And all you guys that are adults and married and have kids, you laugh when you hear happily ever after. I mean, I've got a great life and I'm not complaining, but it sure didn't go the way I planned it. Not even close. Whose life went exactly how they planned it? Anybody? I didn't think so. But we all can still celebrate where we're at because God has us here for a reason. And he's using us even when we have no clue. And it's all because he loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but live forever. And that is worth celebrating. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, let's continue this week in celebrating your love for us, in celebrating the choices you made to bring us closer to you, that you've redeemed us and forgiven and forgotten about each and every sin in our lives. That, Lord, someday we can, each and every one of us can stand in heaven and truly understand what it means to celebrate in your presence. God, thank you. In Jesus' name.